Reading from John chapter 14, verse 8. Because God has said, never will I leave you. And also a portion from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Ah, great verses, verses that we can bank on, verses that we can go before the Father and say, hey, your word says you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. And that's an encouraging truth. It's a promise from God. And I believe if each and every one of us, as we draw near to God today, those promises hold true because of His character, because of His goodness, because of who He is. Not because we've earned it, not because we deserve it, but because God's character is love, and those that come to know Him through the Lord Jesus Christ can bank on the fact that He will never leave us, He will never forsake us. And on this Testimony Tuesday, I have two friends with me in the studio that I can't wait to have them introduced. And in fact, they're going to introduce each other in just a moment. But I have a news flash for everyone. We increased our listenership twofold the last few days as two of our radio listening family members had babies. So we're welcoming into our radio listening family Abigail Hava Harrison. Some of you have heard the name Jonathan and Jane Harrison before. Jonathan has volunteered with this radio ministry for many, many years, and he's the number one son, the oldest son of Karen Harrison, our office manager extraordinaire. Welcome Abigail Hava into our radio listening family. And also a couple of days ago, Vic and Shelley Chrisman had a son, and his name is Curtis David Chrisman, 7 pounds, 14 ounces, another listening son welcomed into this radio listening family. So congratulations, Vic and Shelley, and thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. Well, as many of you know, this past Friday, 56 of us went to the Creation Museum in Kentucky. We had about a 4.5-hour drive. Of course, the Indiana listeners that we picked up, it was only 2 hours and 55 minutes from the Beef House. So those of you that live in and around the Indiana area or live near the Beef House, you can get to that Creation Museum in 3 hours or less, and we highly recommend it. It was a wonderful tour. The facility is state-of-the-art, lots of interactive displays, and you felt you could be at Disneyland because of the quality and how well the animation was and how well some of the figures and the lifelike accounts of some of the things that we got to see and observe. So it was a great visit. We got to meet with Mark Loy, who's one of the co-founders. He presented to the group, as mentioned yesterday. Ken Ham had a little meet and greet, so many of our travelers got to get pictures with him and got to talk with him. And you can see our whole group of 55 at our website, greatnewsradio.org, and you'll see a picture of us before the Ark. We're all ready to board that Ark. I have two more of the guests that were part of that group that went to the Creation Museum, and I'm going to have you, Paul, first introduce your lovely wife, Frankie. And I mentioned this yesterday, and I appreciated Judd and Kathy Travis so much because I love people that exhibit a godly marriage and that are in love with each other, especially senior saints or people that have been married a number of years, and how they still are captivated by each other or in love with each other, or how they honor each other. And as you were recounting some of your testimony and story about Frankie, you couldn't get through it because of various reasons. And I hope through our testimony today that we can get some insights into how God's been at work in your marriage and in your life. But introduce Frankie to our radio listening family.
Okay. This is my lovely wife, Frankie. We've been together for, it'll be 16 years this coming February the 14th. She has added more to my life than I ever dreamed it be possible. She's a godly woman. She respects me, and we have a marriage that I dreamed of before but didn't have, and now I have it, and it's wonderful.
Now, was it love at first sight? Did you see her across the room? Was it at church? Where did you meet? How did it all start?
We met, and actually I was a maintenance person at Chanute Air Force Base. When it closed, Hope for the Children bought land there and started a foster care facility, and she was raising foster kids there and living there. We met when I started there, and she was more after me than I was after her. I was a little scared. I'd been alone for 6 years from my first marriage, and then she... she started trying to attract me, quite frankly. And she would actually go so far as to dress up in her finest clothes and come wherever she would know I would be. And I never, I was shocked. And then one day she met me at a dumpster, actually, is where we first had our first conversation. My maintenance shop had a dumpster right outside. And she brought her children down to play on the swing set, which was right behind it. And I come out to throw some trash away, and she walked up and started talking to me. And I put my hand on the dumpster, and I noticed when she walked away, she touched my hand. And she asked me about being married before, but she had already checked me out with the women of the group there to find out if I was single and all about me. Then one thing led to another, and finally she asked me out. She came to an empty house that I was working in with a little girl, and she asked me out. First I said, no, I don't want to do that. And she got this sad look on her face, and I said, but I will do this. And she went out of there and went down to her mother, lived out there too as a senior parent. And she went to her mother's house and says, I got a date with Paul. And then it just blossomed from that time on.
Now, Frankie, I'm going to give you equal time so we can hear your side of the story, but how about introducing Paul to our radio listening family?
All right. Of course, this is Paul, my husband, and pretty much all that he said is true. I did have quite a chase on my hands when I found out that he was indeed single and stuff, and I started watching him more closely and found that he was a very hard-working man. He was always on the run out there trying to get to the next job, to the next job, to the next job, trying to get things completed. So I knew he was a hard worker, and I knew that he was a family man and had kids and grandkids and pretty much had a good idea that things were real good there from, you know, everything that I could learn from everybody else. So I, you know, kind of kept track of him and whatever. And then after we did finally start dating, I did discover that he was a true man of God. So then I knew that was the man for me.
Yeah, you'd been praying it up. And did you, at this point in your spiritual journey, were you a follower of Jesus? Did you know the Lord? And you were looking for a godly match, somebody that the Lord could raise up and pair you up with?
Right.
So you've been praying it up, and you kind of saw him and probably checked in. Is he a church-going man? Mm-hmm. And then as you got to know him, you found out he's a godly man.
There was a social worker out there where we were at, and she knew Paul and some of his family and stuff, and I would always talk to her and find out what I needed to know.
Now, I know you both attend the Ogden Nazarene Church, and some good friends of ours, Herb and Marge Ketchum and Dennis Anglin, both Herb and Dennis sing with the Singing Men of GNN, but I've heard very good things about your church. How long have you been members there and attending?
We've been attending there for 9 years, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I haven't been a member all of that time, but it's been 9 years, and it's great. It's great.
We've
got an excellent pastor, and we both like it there.
Before we get into some of your testimonies, and that's the one thing when somebody shows up to the home studio, I usually brief you beforehand saying that I want to have you share a little of your spiritual journey, how God wooed you to himself, how you got to know him in a personal way. But how does the nature trail compare to the Creation Museum? So give me a little snapshot. You've been out with Beamer already. He's got all the smells and licks off of you. So compare the nature trail to the Creation Museum, and what were some of the highlights from the Creation Museum especially?
The nature trail is great, and especially because Frankie and I both, we are planning on moving down to Villa Grove, and the house is right next to the river. So we appreciate that, and we both love to get out and walk, and especially through the woods. So that was very special to us. And by the way, you've got a bigger river than we do. So, a lot more water in it than the one down there. But the Creation Museum, I think the thing that fascinated me the most was the solar system movie that they put on. I really enjoyed that. It fascinates me how far God has got things out there. But also, I really like the animated characters, especially Methuselah, because I leaned towards him and he looked me right in the eye and talked. It was just like a human talking to me. And it just fascinated me because he's saying I'm 969 years old and Noah's building this ark and everything. And that just, it caught my attention, and I really loved that part of it.
Yeah, I think somebody once did the calculations and said that Methuselah was alive during the time that Noah was building the ark, and he may have died within that year. Or by the time Noah finished the ark, he might have passed away.
Right.
And then Noah went onto the ark, and I'd never heard that or put that time frame together. But
I hadn't either, and that amazed me. I got to thinking about that after I left. That's because everyone was destroyed, and I thought, well, Methuselah was a godly man. So.
Yeah,
that was fascinating. And the gardens was beautiful, too.
Yeah, that was the first time I'd been there one time before, but had never walked through the gardens, and it's like, there's no drought around here. It was
right.
Beautiful,
it was.
Blooming, and all sorts of flowers and grasses and bush and just how well they had it trimmed and organized. And, yeah, it was lovely. And that planetarium, for people that have maybe never been to the Creation Museum, you sit back in these recliner chairs that are very nice. In fact, so nice that I know a few in our group fell asleep and you could hear them snoring, but it was a wonderful environment. But basically, you start at the Earth. And then they showed you kind of the moon, and then the sun, and then like the solar system, and then these planets, and then these other planets, and these other solar systems,
right.
And other galaxies, and it keeps going out, and billions and trillions and hundreds of trillions of miles, and it just keeps going out, and they show everything in kind of perspective, or, you know, everything shrinks down, and you're thinking, this is unbelievable, and it's so vast, and how much greater is God than all of this,
right.
And you're just overwhelmed. You can't even fathom some of these suns that are hundreds of times bigger than our own sun, which is many, many times bigger than the planet Earth, and it just, it's overwhelming, and you're thinking, and yet this almighty sovereign God who created it all can be personally known and involved in our individual lives. It's just like overwhelming.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Frankie, for you, was there a special memory or something that really impressed on your heart through what was shared at the Creation Museum?
My favorite part of the Creation Museum, I think, would have to be the video that they had in regards to the Earth being created on a day-by-day basis, showing what was added in each day. I thoroughly enjoyed that, and I also enjoyed the Noah's Ark, seeing it actually like it's being built inside this building and on the inside, and then you walk around to the other side, and they're building it with all the animated characters, and they're carrying on conversations about what's going on and why is he doing this, and, you know, all this. It was just fantastic, the hugeness of it all.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do? Because I still have a couple passes to the Creation Museum to give away. And it is basically dependent on where you live in our radio listening area. If you live around the Beef House, it's 2 hours and 55 minutes. If you live in the Champaign-Urbana area, it's about 4 or so hours. But I'll give away 2 passes to the Creation Museum to the third caller right now at 217-367-7777. For our Indiana listeners, 1-888-333-9466. 2 passes to the Creation Museum. They're valid through February 28th, 2013. So right now, the third caller, 217-367-7777, will get 2 free tickets to the Creation Museum. Well worth the drive. And actually, this is good for 2 days. So if you get a hotel, you can go 2 days in a row. And we would highly recommend it. So that'll be fun. And I know tomorrow we'll have Pastor Jason Schiffo in the studio. And I'm sure he's going to talk a lot about his Creation Museum experience because it was so much fun. As was mentioned yesterday on the program, one of my favorite aspects of the Creation Museum trip was all the testimonies that were shared on the bus, and that's where I got to know you, Paul, and Frankie, just as you got to share for a few minutes some of your life story. And as was recounted yesterday with Judd and Kathy, when you come to know Christ, it doesn't mean everything just works out hunky-dory, perfect, that there's no suffering or pain or heartache. And yesterday's testimony with Kathy, she's a 3-time cancer survivor, and it was real special to hear how she's worked through it. In fact, at one point she was given up, and she said over the air yesterday that after her 10th treatment, she really said to her doctor, I'm kind of through, just basically let me die. And her husband, you know, though that was heartbreaking, he wanted to honor her in every way that he could. But the doctor convinced her to continue with the treatments, and thank you, God, that they did, because healing did follow, and she's been cancer-free for a while now. Mm-hmm. You're in the later stages, I think stage 4 cancer.
I'm in stage 4. Mm-hmm.
And so talk a little about how God has been your support, along with Paul, who loves you dearly, and that became evident as he was choked up just recounting that he's holding on for as many days as he can continue to have with you.
Yeah, he definitely is. He's there supporting me all along the way, and we just count on the Lord to help us, and we pray every day that if it's God's will, that he will heal me here on earth, and if not, when I get to heaven, I'll be healed, and there'll be no more suffering. I, so far, have been extremely lucky. I haven't suffered from a lot of side effects. The worst is just the tiredness. So I have to, a lot of days, just basically take a nap after a nap, it feels like. But Paul's there supporting me and just telling me to go and lay down and take a break. And that's what I do, because it's just too hard not to go and rest and stuff. So the weeks I have chemo, I'm really tired. And then the following week, I'm not too bad usually. But I haven't gotten any of the nausea and diarrhea and hair loss, those kinds of things that they've told me about. I haven't had any of that. So I've been very, very blessed so far. Very blessed.
Now, I know both Paul and you have confidence in the Lord.
Yes.
But talk a little about that confidence, because there's listeners that don't understand how you can have faith even during times of testing, times of trial, because of the character of God. But how have you gotten to know God in a personal way as a result of crying out to him, seeking healing, seeking positive reports, seeking just the peace of mind when you're suffering?
Well, I guess just because we know he's there and we know he is looking out for our best interest, and whatever he decides is going to be okay, whether or not it's going to be a healing here on earth or a healing once I get to heaven. But we know his will is what's going to be done, and so it makes it easy. It just really makes it easy.
Now, I know Paul, you and I talked off air yesterday and just talked about some of the circumstances, because there are people from all walks of life that have their opinion on how God heals and how God brings about healing. And some will say just expect the miraculous and trust in that and have full confidence that he will supernaturally work and just make everything right. And then there are others that would just say, God is a good God, and just trust in him and trust in him no matter what. And it seems like you have a real mature understanding of where you're at with this and where Frankie's at with this, even though she's your forever bride and the bright shining star in your life, if you will. But you're having to navigate this as a husband that, you know, all of our days are numbered, but you want God to work in supernatural ways. But you also have a peace, even though there's the potential of a loss.
Yeah, I do have a strong faith in God, because he's brought me through so many things. I'll be 70 in November, and I drove a semi for several years, and I've seen tremendous accident potentials and storms and stuff, and I've been through tornadoes and stuff like that, and I knew that God was right there, and I didn't know whether I was supposed to stop or keep moving. And I remember one night I kept moving, and I just felt like he said, don't stop, keep moving, and I drove right through this storm. And the next week I found out that it actually tore up some of the road and was hurling it around right behind where I'd went. So that, you know, I've got a lifetime of those types of things happening, and so that's increased my faith. But with Frankie, yes, she's very precious to me, and to lose her would be a great loss. Mm-hmm. But I know that God can do anything. He can heal her in a heartbeat. But I also know that he didn't promise me that she would be healed here. But when she does, if she does go, when she goes to heaven, she will be instantly healed. I believe that 100%. That's why that scripture is precious. I'll never leave you or forsake you. A lot of people get confused on that, and they think that God, all you got to do is pray and God will heal you. Sometimes that happens, but in my own family, I had a sister that laid for 10 years, was a fine Christian woman, and God never healed her, and finally he took her home. That was really hard for all of us. But I know that night I crawled in that semi, and I headed down Route 39, and I seen my sister. This sounds crazy to some people, but I seen my sister like she used to be instead of all of that distortion from the steroids and stuff. And she filled the whole sky. And I knew instantly she was in heaven. And so that increased my faith there. And so that's why I'm strong with Frankie. You know, I don't want to lose her. Yeah. But I always pray for her. We lay in bed and I pray every night for her. And I pray, God, this is what I want. But I want your will, because I don't want to keep her here and have something even worse maybe happen to her. So I just trust him.
Yeah. And I'm thinking for anyone that's maybe tuned in, whether it's intentional because they're regulars to tuning in or they're scanning their dial, we serve a God that we can place our full trust and confidence because of his character. He's unchanging. He's sovereign. He's good. He's glorious. He's full of mercy. He can be trusted. He loves our loved ones more than we can love our loved ones. He loves Frankie more than you can love Frankie. As much as you can humanly love her, he loves her more. And we can trust all of our cares and concerns with him. So, well, thank you both for being available on this Testimony Tuesday to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, and being new friends of mine and being a part of our group to the Creation Museum and maybe future endeavors and outings. And yesterday when I talked with Jed and Kathy, and you're out in their neck of the woods, we're going to meet up sometime for dinner. So we're going to have like more of us together for some type of reunion and to gather. And we'll keep praying you up, Frankie, and you, Paul, and just asking God to bring about the healing according to his plan and purposes.
Thank you, and thank you for having us, Mark.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.